The scripture reading for this morning is Psalm 25. Psalm 25, we read the entire psalm. The text this morning is verse 14. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thou unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. So far the reading of God's holy, infallible word. May God place his blessing upon the reading of that word. The text this morning is verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 25 is a psalm of David. And like many other psalms, Psalm 25 is a prayer. In this psalm, David pours out his heart unto the Lord in prayer. In this psalm, there are particularly three things that David brings unto the Lord in his prayer. First, in this psalm, David prays for deliverance from his enemies and deliverance from his difficult circumstances. You notice that in both the beginning and at the end of the psalm. In verse 2, we read, O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. And again at the end, in verse 19, consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. We don't know what situation David was in when he wrote this psalm, but clearly David is in the midst of difficult circumstances. And so he prays for deliverance from his enemies. The second thing David mentions in this prayer is for the forgiveness of sins. He prays for the forgiveness of his sins. He sees his enemies, he sees his difficult circumstances. And it doesn't cause David to become angry with the Lord, but it causes David to become more sensitive towards his own sins and his sinful nature. In verse 7, he says, Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Again in verse 11, he prays, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. David knows that as a sinner, he's not deserving of God's help to deliver him from his enemies. And so David prays for the forgiveness of sins and for mercy. The third thing David mentions in this prayer is his trust in the Lord, in God's mercy and faithfulness. In verse 15, David writes, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. In verse 20, he writes, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. So David prays, Lord, I see my enemies. I see my difficult circumstances. I see my sins and my sinful nature, and I know I'm not deserving of thy help. But Lord, I know that thou art a faithful and a merciful God. I put my trust in thee. Hear my prayer and help me. Well, the question comes, how can David pray this kind of prayer? Why does he know that the Lord will help him? When you pray, beloved, how do you know that the Lord will hear your prayer and deliver you out of your difficult circumstances? Well, that's exactly where we come to the text for this morning, verse 14. In verse 14 and in the preceding verses, David expresses why he has confidence in the Lord. He expresses the ground, the basis for his confidence. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Simply put, David knows what it means to be the friend of the Lord. And especially this, David knows what kind of a friend the Lord is. The Lord is a faithful friend who is true to his word, faithful to his promises. And God has spoken promises to David. Promises to be his God, promises never to leave him or to forsake him, to lead him in the right way, to keep him safe from danger, or to turn that danger and that evil toward David's good. And so David takes comfort in the thought of who God is as his friend. And that's of great significance and application to us today too, beloved. We face enemies, personal enemies. We face difficult trials and struggles, different obstacles and difficulties that the Lord puts in our way. And when we look at ourselves and our own sins and our sinful natures, then we also see that we're not worthy of the Lord's help in these things. The blessed reminder we have in the text is this: we know who God is as our friend. He is our friend. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. This is what we look at this morning, what these words mean. We take as our theme this morning, the secret of the Lord. And we look at that theme under 3 points: the beautiful idea, the certain showing, and the particular recipients. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. What does that mean? Especially this: what is the secret of the Lord? Well, I think that we all know what secrets are. Even you little children know what a secret is. A secret is something that is private. A secret is something that you don't share with just anyone. A secret is something that you share with your closest friend. A secret is something that you share only with someone whom you love. And you love them so much that you really want to share your secrets with them. That's what friendship is. You want your friend to know your inner thoughts. You want them to know your heart. Being so close as friends, you want to open up your mind and your heart to each other, to share your thoughts and desires and struggles, because you love one another and you want them to know you and who you really are. That's what this word secret in the text means. The idea, the secret of the Lord is something that the Lord keeps private. The secret of the Lord is something that God reveals only to those whom he loves, those whom he has chosen to be his friends, his elect people. And he tells these people his secrets exactly because he loves them, because they are his friends, and because God wants them to know him and who he is as their friend. In fact, that word secret in the text is a very picturesque word. The word literally has the idea of being closely pressed together. Closely pressed together for the sake of fellowship and private communication. Friends coming together, sitting close together, sharing one another's thoughts with each other. And from that idea of being closely pressed together comes the idea of the communication that takes place when two are closely pressed together in fellowship. When we read this word secret in the text, then we ought to imagine something like this. Close, intimate friends who are sitting on a couch, perhaps, sitting on a love seat, a small love seat, or maybe a husband and a wife sitting on their porch, their front porch, in their small swing together, talking to each other privately, telling each other their thoughts and their plans, perhaps telling each other simply how much they love each other. That's the secret, the idea of this word. But that makes this word very striking, because we read, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So when we picture this word secret, we must think of God sitting on a couch, as it were. God sitting on a love seat, or on that front porch swing, as it were, to speak reverently here, sitting on that couch with his friend, sitting in close intimacy and telling his friends his thoughts, his plans, and simply his love for them. God sitting with his people, wanting to tell them his secrets, and no one else, simply because he loves them. They are his friends, and he wants them to know him, so he sits with them in close friendship and tells them his secrets. That's the beautiful idea here. Well, we might ask, what are these secrets? What are these secrets that God has and that he shares with his people? Well, we can look at the Old Testament and see some of the secrets that God shared with his people in the Old Testament. In Genesis 6, God revealed a secret to Noah. Noah, I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. Noah was God's friend. Noah walked with God, and God walked with Noah and talked with him and revealed his secrets to Noah. And the Lord's secret to Noah was also this: Noah, I will continue my covenant with you. I will save you. In Genesis 12, God shared a secret with Abraham. In Genesis 12, God said to Abraham, Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the Lord's secret to Abraham was this: Abraham, I will establish my covenant. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. In fact, God shared his secrets with Abraham in such a way that throughout Scripture, we read Abraham referred to as the friend of God. Abraham was the friend of God because God shared his secrets with Abraham in such a way. In 2 Samuel 7, God revealed his secret to David as well. I will set up thy seed after thee, David, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Thy throne shall be established forever. What then are these secrets that God shares with his people? Simply put, God's secrets are his decrees. Not all his decrees, but his decrees concerning us, concerning our salvation, and his purposes, his plan of redemption in Jesus Christ for us. God has decreed everything. God has determined everything from before the foundation of the earth, from eternity past. God's decrees are unchanging and eternal. And he has decreed everything to serve the salvation of his church in Jesus Christ. And so when God spoke privately to Noah and to Abraham and to David, God was telling them about his decree of salvation concerning them. He said to them, "You are my friend, Noah. You are my friend, Abraham and David. I love you. And in my love for you, I have decreed to save you. And I have decreed to bless you because I have loved you from all eternity." And those are the decrees God also reveals to us. My friends, God says to you this morning, to Wingham Protestant Reformed Church, my friends, I will tell you my secret thoughts. This is how much I love you. This is how much I want to be with you and for you to know me. I have decreed to give you Jesus Christ, mine only begotten Son, as your Savior. I love you so much. I will take care of you always, and I will work all things for your good. You can count on that, for I have decreed it. That's what David is talking about in this psalm. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That is, God's people know his secrets. We know his thoughts concerning our salvation. And now in Psalm 25, David says that for his own comfort and for his own assurance. God has spoken to me his secrets. God has told me about his love for me. He has told me what his thoughts are towards me, thoughts of peace and to give me an expected end. He has told me that I can have hope even as I see my enemies and my difficult circumstances, because he will protect me and care for me. He sees his enemies. He sees his own sins and his sinful nature, the sins of his youth. And he comforts himself in this thought: God has already told me before, in the secrets that he has shared with me, that he will show me mercy and work all things for my good. Whatever I see happening around me, whatever thoughts come into my mind, I must remember what God has told me in private conversation. Well, that makes this passage very significant and very beautiful. Because, especially this is how David, the inspired psalmist, understands the idea of the covenant. David connects this idea of God sharing his secrets with a loved one to the idea of the covenant. That this is the case becomes clear when we notice the Hebrew parallelism in this verse. You know what Hebrew parallelism is. When the second line in the verse repeats the first line. But it doesn't just repeat it, it expands on it, it develops it to a certain extent. We have Hebrew parallelism in the text. And that might not be so clear in the English, but that is especially clear in the original when you look at the word order. In the original, the word order is like this: the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and his covenant he will show unto them. You see the parallelism. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and his covenant he will show unto them. Secret and covenant are in parallel with each other. The idea then is very simple. This is what the covenant is: God sharing his secrets and his thoughts with his friends, with those whom he loves. That's how David understands the covenant. It's a relationship of friendship. A relationship of friendship between God and his people, in which God loves his people. And he loves them so much that he takes his people unto himself. He sits down with them in the love seat, and he reveals to them his great love to them in Jesus Christ. He tells them about his decrees, what he willed for them from all eternity as his elect people. And he comforts them with the knowledge that his decrees are unchanging, because he is the Lord, capital letters, Jehovah, the God who is always faithful to his covenant. And he tells his people his secrets exactly in part so that when his people see their enemies, when they see their difficult circumstances, when they see their sins rising up against them, they might know what God's will is concerning them, that they might be comforted and that they might be encouraged to call upon him in prayer. Now that is of greatest significance because that's not the popular view of the covenant today. The popular view of the covenant today is this, that the covenant is a pact, a kind of agreement or a bargain between God and his people. It is perhaps a certain kind of relationship in which God and certain individuals agree to enter into together. God initiates it by presenting a sincere, well-meant offer. He says, believe me. Really, the idea is, accept me, and I will then be your God, and I will save you. But if you accept me, you must then live a certain way. You must obey me and remain faithful, otherwise I won't save you. And then the people must respond like this, we will believe you, we will obey you. And then if you meet his conditions, and you remain obedient and faithful to God through to the end of your life, then when you die, God will save you. This understanding of the covenant really then amounts to this. The covenant is merely a promise. That's what the covenant is, a conditional promise. I promise you salvation if you live as my people. Others say that God establishes his covenant with all the children of believers head for head, whether they choose it or not. He promises each one of them head for head salvation. However, when they get older, if they reject God, well, then that relationship is broken. They have not lived up to the conditions, and there is no longer any covenant, and God will not save them. One of the problems with that idea is this. If God makes his promise with every child of believers head for head, and some grow up and remain faithful, and others grow up and are not faithful, what ultimately makes the difference? What ultimately makes the difference is not what God has done, but what I have done to be obedient and to be faithful. Then salvation is not all of grace. It really comes down to what I do. And the problem with that is also this. That is not how the psalmist here in Psalm 25 understands the idea of the covenant. David understands the covenant not merely as a promise. He understands the covenant as an actual relationship of friendship. But now let me ask you this. What is a friendship? Who are your friends? Who are those with whom you share your deepest secrets, your plans, and your desires? Who is the friend that you love truly as a true friend? That friendship isn't based on any kind of condition, is it? Upon meeting up to my end of the bargain? It's exactly a friendship because you love each other, because you're like-minded and you love being with each other. No conditions attached, really. If I have a so-called friendship that's based on conditions, and that's all my friendship is, if that's all the friendship means to the other person and to me, well, that's no true friendship at all. Then I'm certainly not going to tell that person my deepest secrets. My struggles. Of all things, I won't be telling that person my secrets. Then I'm going to be constantly judging that person, wondering whether he's meeting up to his end of the friendship, his end of the bargain. Or I'll be constantly worried about myself, whether I'm meeting my end of the agreement. If that's what friendship is, that's not friendship at all. That's merely a business agreement. Then it's really only a means to an end. I'm simply using that person, and they're simply using me to get at some other end. Are we supposed to think of God in such a way as someone we use in order to get something out of him, in order to get salvation out of him? Oh no. The reality for the true child of God is this. That friendship with God, that itself is salvation. That's what I love. That's what I'm concerned about. My friendship with God. Simply to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's life eternal. John 17, verse 3. And that is the unconditional covenant God has established with us. We, not making ourselves to differ from anyone else in any way, God takes us unto himself and he makes us his friends. And he simply loves us too much as his friends to degrade that relationship with certain conditions. And he knows that any conditions he might make, we couldn't keep them anyway. We have nothing of ourselves. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. God simply says, I will be your God. You will be my people. I will establish my covenant, my relationship of friendship with you, and I will save you, and I will give you everything you need. And the wonder of salvation is this: God raises us out of death into life. He regenerates us, and then by a wonder, he also wonderfully, sweetly bends us, bends our wills, as the Canons of Dort uses that language, and quickens our wills so that we love him, so that we delight in being his friend, and so that we also, by the Holy Spirit, begin to have the mind of God more and more. And that is friendship. It's a relationship of friendship in which, yes, God speaks promises to his people. Of course. God says, I love you. I will always love you. That's my promise. God says, I will save you. That's my promise. You can count on it. God says, I will work all things for your good. You can count on that because that's my promise. And it is a relationship of friendship in which we have our part as well, obviously. We are called to live as God's friends, to live antithetically, to live in holiness. But it's unconditional. God says, I promise these things unconditionally, simply because I love you. And your part, well, I supply the grace for that as well, because without me, ye can do nothing. Yes, God says, this is my secret. This is what I have decreed, that you be my people, simply because I love you. That's the kind of promise David needed to cling to in Psalm 25. Look at his situation. Enemies surrounding him. Difficult ways, trials and struggles. He sees his sins, the sins of youth. And he knows that in committing his sins, he has rejected God. He has violated God's covenant. He has chosen sin instead of God. And now what does David say? Does he say, well, I know that my good works outweigh my evil works, and therefore I have hope? Or does David say, well, I haven't been faithful to my end of the agreement, and therefore I know all is doomed and all is lost? No, David says, I know the relationship that I have with God. It's a relationship of friendship. God loves me. He's told me his secrets. How often have we not sat together in that love seat? And I have poured out my heart unto God in prayer, and he has given me the sweet assurance of his love and his mercy. And when I sin, he is glad and quick to forgive. And I hate sin because I'm the friend of God. And now I remember this relationship of friendship, David says, and I am comforted, and I know that God will show me his covenant. And that's where we get to the second main idea of God certainly showing his covenant. What does that mean? The second part of the text. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Well, that word show means to cause to know. God will cause his people to know his covenant. And the idea is this: God will truly show David what it means to be the friend of God. God will cause David to experience in his life what it means to God to be God's friend. David says, God will show his friendship in such a way that I see and I know that I am in a relationship of friendship with God, so that I know what it means to God that I am his friend. Now, there are different ways that one can do that, to show one's friendship. In a friendship, we can show our love for one another as friends through our words. And that's what God does. He does that through giving us the scriptures. He does that through the preaching every Sunday. In the preaching of God's word, God tells us what it means that we are his beloved friends and we are comforted. That's why we love the preaching every Sunday, because the preaching reminds us once again of all the different aspects of what it means to be God's friend. But in a friendship, a friend can also show his friend how much he loves him as his friend, not just by words, but also by actions and deeds. And that's particularly what David has in mind here. God is going to show his people his friendship by what he does for them. Again, we must see David includes this verse in his prayer for his own comfort. I see my enemies, I see my sins, but I know that God is a faithful friend. He will show me his friendship by saving me from my enemies and showing mercy upon me. That's why in the very next verse, David says, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck me out of the net." God will save me, because he will show me what true friendship means to him. And David is certain of God showing his friendship, because this friendship is not based on any kind of agreement or pact. It's based on something infinitely greater and better, on true love. And this is what friends do who love each other. They help each other. And David is certain God will show him his help and friendship, because God is the Lord, Jehovah, who is unchanging toward his covenant promises. Well, God has done that with us as well, hasn't he? He shows us what this relationship of friendship means to him. How? In what way? We experience God's friendship every day. Every Sunday again, here we are enjoying God's friendship as we fellowship with him. But especially in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, God shows his covenant in a most glorious and supreme way, because in Jesus Christ, we see the very substance and the expression of the covenant. In Jesus Christ, we have God and man so closely pressed together that they are united in one person, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. In Jesus Christ, we have in our flesh and blood for our eyes to see the secret of the Lord made known. Because you might say Jesus Christ is the secret of the Lord par excellence. He is the chief decree of God. In Jesus Christ, the covenant is established. Through Jesus Christ, the covenant is maintained. Through Jesus Christ, that covenant is brought to its perfect realization and fulfillment in heavenly glory. And in Jesus Christ's death on the cross, God shows us what this relationship of friendship means to him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what God did for us in Jesus Christ, his Son. God himself shed his own blood to save us, his friends, from our sins and the punishment we deserved. And now God, through Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, continues to show us his covenant. He tells us his secrets, his promises, his will concerning our salvation. What are they? You know them. Hebrews 13, verse 5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Matthew 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Isaiah 40 through 66, "When you pass through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am with you. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am your God, and I will always keep covenant with you." You can be certain of that. Child of God, what enemies do you see rising up against you? What are the struggles and the trials and the sorrows that you're facing on a daily basis in this past week? What are the storms in your life? Do you see your own sinful nature? Maybe the sins of youth, struggles and trials with a guilty conscience. God says, have I not told you my secrets? And just as I have told you them and expressed my friendship to you in this way, so in my power I will show you my friendship in action. I will keep you. I will forgive you, and I will bless you. People of God, God will save you from all your enemies and deliver you from all your sins. You, like David, can be certain of that. He will show you his friendship. But here we come to an important part of the text. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The particular recipients of God's secret, of God's covenant, are those who fear him. Well, again, what does that mean? It ought to be plain from what has already been said that having friendship with God is not based on some kind of condition or prerequisite that we are first fearing him and reverencing him. That goes against the whole idea of friendship that David is bringing to mind in the psalm. That goes against the whole scheme of salvation, the whole gospel. Rather, David is simply expressing here a fact of reality, and he's saying it to himself to give himself comfort and assurance in the midst of his difficulties. I know, David says, that God's friendship is with me. This is the idea. I see my enemies. I see my difficult circumstances. I see my sin. I see my unfaithfulness to God, my hopelessness, my wretchedness. I see that there's nothing in me at all. No strength, no power, nothing. But I know the secret of the Lord. I know that I am God's friend. God dwells with me. God has whispered in my ear his secrets. His secrets of his thoughts towards me. His good end that he has in store for me. And he whispers to me words of comfort and assurance. I am your friend, David. You love me, David. You fear me, David. Know this. I love you. I always have loved you. I have loved you with an unchanging, eternal love. And know this, that you love me, that you are lifting up your soul unto me in prayer, that you fear me, is but the demonstration, it's but the witness of the fact that I love you and that I will turn all things to your advantage and I will show you my friendship. And so David, in blessed assurance, cries out, I know that I am the friend of the Lord, and therefore I know that there is a good end in store for me as God's friend. God speaks his secrets, his words of love and friendship, only to those who fear him. But they fear him, of course, exactly because God has brought them into friendship with himself. And they are the friends of God, not because of anything in themselves, but only exclusively because of God's own good pleasure. And that means that this friendship is strong. God did it according to his own good pleasure. Congregation, let that be your comfort in the midst of your trials. You look to God as your Savior and as your friend. You love God. You fear God. Well, know this, remember this first. That's only because God has made you his friend. We love him because he first loved us. But know this, secondly, God will show you in beautiful ways, unfathomable ways, how precious you are as his friend. Oh, he teaches you in the way of his own choosing. Verse 12, David says that, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God shows you his love in the way of his own choosing. But he will speak to your heart, and he will tell you about his love concerning your salvation. He will deliver you out of all of your troubles, all of your sin, all of your enemies. He has done that in Jesus Christ. He will see it through to its full realization. And that's also why we look ahead so longingly towards heaven. Because that's when all our enemies will be gone, all our sin will be gone, and we will enjoy the secret of the Lord and the fellowship of the Lord perfectly. The covenant of the Lord, where God will, the tabernacle of the Lord will dwell with his people. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Let that be your assurance. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, all praise and all glory be unto thee. We are what we are by thy grace, thy friends by thy grace. Lord, impress upon us, cause us to experience personally in our own lives day by day that thou art our friend, even as thou dost tell us in thy word that thou wilt show us thy covenant and what it means to be thy friend. Comfort us and cause us to enjoy thee as our friend and to live faithfully before thee as thy friends. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We sing together Psalter number 241. The mercies and faithfulness of God. Notice especially stanza 3. Behold God's truth and grace displayed, for he has faithful covenant made, and he has sworn that David's son shall ever sit upon his throne. Let's sing stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 7. The first 3 and the 7th, Psalter number 241.